The Arabian Night. The 89th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Jafar said to the caliph." When Ajib heard the insulting remarks of the children and the monitor, he left at once and came crying to his mother, Sitt al-Husn. When she saw him, her heart was on fire for him, and she asked him, "Son, why do you cry? May God never let you cry again." Sobbing, he told her what had happened. Then he asked her, "Who then is my father?" She replied, "Your father is the vizier of Egypt." He said, "You are lying. The vizier is your own father. He is my grandfather. Who then is my father?" When Sitt al-Husn heard him speak of his father, her cousin and husband, Badr al-Din Hasan, and recalled her wedding night, she wept bitterly and recited these verses. "Love in my breast he lit and went away, and left behind an empty hearth and heart. His shrine is too distant to visit now, a distance that has kept us worlds apart. And when he left, my patience also left, so did endurance, so did self-control. And when he went away, he took with him my joy, my peace, my rest, all. He took all, and left me my tears of unhappy love, which from my burning eyes profusely flow. And when I long to see him once again, and with vain longing wait for him to show, I trace his image in my empty heart, which wells with thoughts, longing, and deep passion. You, whose remembrance wraps me in its warmth, whose love I show a sign of devotion, is there no ransom for the captive heart, and for the afflicted no remedy, and for the sick with love no medicine, and for the defeated no victory? Oh, my dear love, how long this coy disdain? When will you come back and be mine again?" While she wept and made her son weep with her, the vizier came in, and when he saw them he asked, "Why do you weep?" His daughter told him what had happened to her son, and when he remembered his brother and nephew and his daughter's puzzling story, he wept with them. Then he went at once to the king of Egypt, and kissing the ground before him, begged him leave to go eastward to the city of Basra to inquire about his nephew. He also begged for royal edicts to all provinces and cities authorizing him to take custody of Badr al-Din wherever he found him. And he wept before the king, who took pity on him and wrote him letters and edicts to all the provinces and cities. The vizier rejoiced, thanked the king, and invoked God's blessing on him. Then he returned at once to his house, and after he had made preparations for the journey, he took his daughter and her son Ajib with him and departed. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 90th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Jafar said to the caliph, 'The vizier of Egypt, the uncle of Badr al-Din Hasan, journeyed with his daughter and her son for 20 days until he came to the city of Damascus and saw its rivers and birds, just as the poet described them. Once in Damascus I spent such a night that time swore 'twould never the like allow. We slept carefree under the wing of the night, till morning smiled and beamed with dappled brow, and dewdrops on the branches hung like pearls, then fell and scattered when the zephyr blew, and birds chanted the words traced on the lake, as the wind wrote and the clouds the points drew.'" The vizier dismounted and pitched his tents at a place called the Plain of Pebbles, saying to his followers, Let us rest here for 2 or 3 days. Then the pages and servants went on their errands into the city, this to sell, that to buy, another to go to the bath. Ajib too went into the city to see the sights, followed by a eunuch carrying a red club of knotted almond wood, with which if one hit a camel, it would go galloping as far as Yemen. When the people of Damascus saw Ajib, who in spite of his very young age was all beauty, charm, and perfect grace, just like him of whom the poet said, "The scent is musk, the cheek a rose, the teeth are pearls, the mouth is wine, the frame a bow, the hip a barge, the hair is night, the face a moon divine." They followed him while others ran ahead and waited for him to pass by, so that they might gaze on him, until, as if it had been foreordained, the eunuch stopped in front of the shop of Ajib's father, Badr al-Din Hasan al-Basri. Badr al-Din had been living in Damascus for 12 years, during which time the reformed cook died, leaving his shop and all his property to his adopted son, Badr al-Din. In the course of the years, Badr al-Din's beard had grown, and his understanding had matured. When his son and the servant stood before him, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then the king said to himself, "By God, I will not have her put to death until I find out what happened to the vizier Badr al-Din Hasan, his son, his uncle, and his cousin. Then I will have her put to death as I did the others." The 91st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Jafar said to the caliph, 'When Ajib and the servant stood before Badr al-Din's shop, and he gazed on his son's extraordinary beauty and grace, his heart began to throb, his stomach began to flutter, and he felt happy, as the blood hearkened to the blood, driven by instinctive sympathy and the divine mystery. Glory be to him who controls everything.'" Looking at his son's outlandish attire and at his wonderful face, Badr al-Din said to him, "O my lord and master of my life and heart, you for whom I should shed my blood, would you enter my shop to taste my food and make me happy?" That day he had prepared a pomegranate seed dish cooked in sugar. At that moment, he remembered his happy days as a vizier's son, and his eyes filled with tears, and he recited the following verses. "O my beloved, as I shed my tears, I should acquaint you with my sorry plight. When I avoid you, I yearn for you so, and feel a passion that doth burn and blight. 'Tis not that I hate or wish to forget, but that such love can such wisdom beget." Ajib felt tenderness for him, and his heart throbbed. He turned to the eunuch and said, "Tutor, I feel sympathy and pity for this cook, who seems to have lost a son or a brother. Let us enter his shop and, by accepting his hospitality, console him. Perhaps God will reward this act by reuniting me with my father." When the eunuch heard his words, he was angry and said, "What a fine thing for a vizier's son to eat at a cookshop! While I stand here to protect you with this club, even from people's looks, how can I let you enter their shops?" When Badr al-Din heard what the eunuch said, he turned to his son and recited the following verses. "I marvel that they guard you with one slave, while many are enslaved by your own grace. The basil of the beard and jewels of the mouth, the mole of ambergris and rubies of the face." Then Badr al-Din turned to the eunuch and said, "Noble lord, will you make me happy by entering my shop, you who are like a chestnut, black without but white within, just like him of whom the poet said?" The eunuch laughed and asked, "For God's sake, What did the poet say? Badr al-Din recited the following verses. Were he not such a fine and trusty man, he would not in the court hold such a sway, or guard the harem with such zeal and care that even the angels do him homage pay. In blackness he excels, but 'tis his deeds, his noble deeds, that outshine the bright day. This pleased the eunuch, who laughed and, taking Ajib by the hand, entered Badr al-Din's shop. Badr al-Din placed before them a sizzling bowl of pomegranate seeds conserved with almonds and sugar, and they ate and found it extremely delicious. Ajib turned to his father and said, "Sit down and eat with us, and may the Almighty God reunite me with the one for whom I long." Badr al-Din said, "Son, have you too at your tender age suffered the loss of one you love?" Ajib replied, "Yes, uncle. My heart bleeds for the loss of one I love, and my grandfather and I have been roaming the land in search of him. Alas, how I long to be reunited with him." Then he wept, and Badr al-Din wept at the sight of his son's tears, and at the thought of his own separation from his home and mother in a distant land, and he recited the following verses. "If ever we meet each other again, I will have much about which to complain, for no letter can cure the ailing heart, nor can another voice a lover's pain. The critics censure my abundant tears, but tears are little for lovers to pay. When will the good Lord bring me back my love, and let my care and sorrow go away? If we meet then, I will to you complain, for none but I myself can voice such pain." The eunuch felt pity for Badr al-Din, and after they ate together, he took Ajib and departed. But when they left the shop, Badr al-Din felt as if his soul had left his body and had gone with them. He could not bear to be without them, even for a single moment. So he closed his shop and followed them. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I stay alive?" The 92nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Ja'far said to the caliph." Badr al-Din closed his shop and followed his son, without knowing that he was his son. He walked until he caught up with them before they reached the city gate and kept following them. When the eunuch looked behind and saw him, he said, "Damn it, what do you want?" Badr al-Din replied, "Noble lord, when you departed, I felt that my soul had left me and gone with you. Besides, as I have some business outside the victory gate, I thought that I could come out to finish it and return." The eunuch was angry and said to Ajib, "This is what I feared, and this is what you have done to me. When one is blind, one does not see ahead. Because we entered this fellow's shop and ate an unfortunate mouthful, he takes liberties with us and follows us from place to place." Ajib turned around, and seeing the cook following him, reddened with anger and said to the eunuch, "Let him walk like any Muslim, but if he turns in the same direction when we come outside the city and turns towards our tents, we will know that he is following us." Then he bowed his head and walked on, with the eunuch behind him. Badr al-Din followed them until they came to the plain of pebbles and drew near their tents. And when Ajib turned around and saw Badr al-Din still following him, he flushed and turned pale, angry and afraid that his grandfather might find out that he had gone into a cook shop and that he had been followed by one of the cooks. And when Ajib saw Badr al-Din's eyes fixed on him, for he was like a body without a soul, He thought that they were the eyes of a treacherous or a lewd fellow, and his rage mounted. He bent to the ground, picked up a granite stone weighing a pound, and threw it at his father. It struck him on the forehead, cutting it open from eyebrow to eyebrow, and he fell down in a swoon with his blood streaming down over his face, while Ajib and the eunuch headed to their tents. When Badr al-Din came to himself, he wiped away the blood, and taking off his turban, bandaged his wound with it, blaming himself and saying, "I wronged the boy in closing my shop and following him, making him think that I was some treacherous or lewd fellow." Then he returned to his shop, where every now and then he would feel a bit of nostalgia for his mother in Basra, weep for her, and recite the following verses. "If you ask fair play of fate, you wrong it, for blameless fate is not meant to be fair. Take what may please you and be not concerned, for in this life one day is troubled, one day fair." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this, compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and I stay alive?" The 93rd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Ja'far said to the caliph." Badr al-Din returned to his shop and resumed selling his food. Meanwhile, the vizier, his uncle, stayed in Damascus for 3 days and departed for Homs. And after he arrived there and finished his search, he departed for Hama, where he spent the night. Again, after he finished his search, he departed, pressing on until he reached Aleppo, where he stayed for 2 days. Then, going through Diyarbakir, Mardin, Sinjar, and Mosul, he fared on until he reached Basra. When he arrived, he went up to meet the king, who received him with honour and esteem, and asked the reason for his coming. Shams al-Din related to him his story, and told him that his vizier, Nur al-Din Ali of Egypt, was his brother. The king commended Nur al-Din's soul to the mercy of God, and said, "My lord, he lived here for 15 years. Then he died, leaving a son, who stayed here only 1 month after his father's death, and disappeared without any trace or news. But his mother, who was the daughter of my old vizier, is still with us." Shams al-Din asked the king for permission to visit her and meet with her, and the king gave him permission. He went to his brother Nur al-Din's house and looked around and kissed the threshold. And he thought of his brother Nur al-Din and how he had died in a foreign land. And he recited the following verses. "I wander through the halls where Layla lived, and in my sorrow kiss the stony walls. 'Tis not for the stones that I burn with love, but for the dear one who dwelt in the halls." Then he entered the main gate and found himself in a spacious courtyard, at the end of which stood an arched door vaulted over with granite inlaid with multicoloured marble. He walked around the house and, casting his eyes on the walls, saw his brother Nur al-Din's name inscribed in letters of gold and Iraqi lapis lazuli. He went up to the inscription and kissed it, and, thinking of his brother and his loss, he wept and repeated the following verses. "I ask for news of you, the rising sun, and of lightning's flash of you inquire, and in the throes of passion pass my night without complaining of love's hellish fire. O my love, if our parting longer lasts, my pining heart with pain will waste away, but if you bless my sad eyes with your sight, the day we meet will be a blessed day. Think not that I have found another love. There is no room for others in my heart. Pity a tortured lover, sick with love, whose heart by parting has been torn apart. If fate should bless my sad eyes with your sight, I would that day offer my thanks to fate. May God defeat all those who wish us ill, and thwart those who slander to separate. Then he walked in and stopped at the door of the hall. In the intervening years, his brother's widow, the mother of Badr al-Din Hasan of Basra, had, from the day of her son's disappearance, given herself up to weeping and lamentation day and night. And after a long time went by, she made a tomb for her son in the middle of the hall, and continued to weep there day and night. When her brother-in-law reached the hall and stood at the door, he saw her draping the tomb with her flowing hair, and heard her invoking her son Badr al-Din Hasan, weeping and repeating these verses. O tomb, O tomb, has he his beauties lost? Or have you lost yourself that radiant look? O tomb, neither a garden nor a star, the sun and moon at once, how can you host? Shams al-Din entered, and after greeting her, informed her that he was her brother-in-law, and told her what had happened. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad said, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if I am alive?" The 94th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Jafar said to the caliph, 'Shams al-Din told her what had happened and how Badr al-Din had spent a night at his house 10 years ago, but had disappeared in the morning, how on that night the young man had gone in to his daughter, taken her virginity, and made her pregnant, and how when her time came she gave birth to a boy, concluding, "This boy with me here is the son of your son."' When Badr al-Din's mother heard this news of her son, that he was still alive, she looked at her brother-in-law and threw herself at his feet, wept bitterly, and recited the following verses. "How good is he who tells me they have come, for he brings me the best of news to know. Were he content with worn-out robes, a heart at parting torn I would on him bestow." Then she rose, embraced Ajib, pressing him to her heart, kissed him, and was kissed by him, and wept. But the vizier said to her, "This is no time for weeping. Get yourself ready, and come with us to the land of Egypt, and we will perhaps be reunited with your son, my nephew. This story should be written down." She rose at once and prepared herself for the journey, while the vizier went to take his leave of the king, who provided him for the journey, sending him with gifts to the king of Egypt, and bade him goodbye. Shams al-Din set out of Basra on his journey homeward, and he fared on until he reached Aleppo, where he stayed for 3 days. Then he resumed his journey until he came to Damascus, and halted, pitching his tents in the same place, and saying to his men, "We shall stay here for 2 or 3 days to buy some fabrics, as well as other presents for the king." Then he went on his business. Meanwhile, Ajib came out and said to the eunuch, "Tutor, let us go into the city to enjoy the sights, and see what has become of the cook whose food we ate and whose head I cut. For he was kind to us, but we treated him badly." The eunuch replied, "Very well, let us." Then they left the tents as the blood tie drew Ajib to his father, and walked until they entered the city through the heavenly gate. They spent the time at the Umayyad Mosque till close to the time of the afternoon prayer. Then they walked through the grand market, and continued walking until they came to the shop of Badr al-Din Hasan and found him standing there. He had prepared a pomegranate seed dish preserved in almonds and sweet julep and flavoured with cardamom and rose water, and the food was ready to serve. When Ajib looked at him and saw him marked from eyebrow to eyebrow with the dark scar he had given him with the blow, he felt tenderness for him and was overcome with pity. He said to his father, "Peace be with you. You have been on my mind." When Badr al-Din looked at him, his stomach began to flutter and his heart began to throb as the blood hearkened to the blood. He bowed his head and tried to reply, but his tongue could not find the words. Then, still overwhelmed, he raised his head, looked at his son sadly and imploringly, and recited the following verses. "I longed to see the one I love, and when I did, I stood before him dumb and blind. I bowed my head in reverence and awe, but failed to hide the love that seethed behind. My heart was full of troubles and concerns, but not a single word bespoke my mind." Then he said to Ajib, "Perhaps you and the noble gentleman will enter my shop and eat my food to heal my broken heart, for by God I cannot look at you without a throbbing in my heart. When I followed you the other time, I was beside myself." Ajib replied, but morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 95th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Ja'far said to the caliph, 'Badr al-Din said to his son, when I followed you, I was beside myself.'" Ajib replied, "You must be very fond of us. You gave us a mouthful of food, and, assuming that we owed you something, you tried to dishonor us. This time we will not eat anything unless you swear that you will not hold us under any obligation, follow us, or make any claim on us. Else we will not visit you again. We are staying here for about a week, so that my grandfather may buy presents for the king of Egypt." Badr al-Din said, "Very well, you may do as you please." Ajib and the eunuch entered the shop, and Badr al-Din ladled from the top of the pot a bowl full of food and placed it before them. Ajib said to him, "Sit down and eat with us." And Badr al-Din was glad and sat down and ate with his son, with his eyes fixed on him, for his whole being yearned for him. Ajib said, "Ha, haven't I told you that you are an overbearing lover? Stop staring at my face." Badr al-Din sighed and recited the following verses. "Passion for you lies deeply in the heart, a secret sealed in darkness, seen by none. O you whose beauty shames the shining moon, whose ample grace rivals the rising sun, your radiant face frustrates the burning heart, and with hopelessness afflicts love's desire. Your mouth is nectar, but I die of thirst. Your face is heaven, but I burn in fire." They ate together, and Badr al-Din kept putting morsels, now in Ajib's mouth, now in the eunuch's, until they were satisfied. They rose up, and Badr al-Din poured water on their hands, and, loosening a towel from his waist, gave it to them to wipe their hands with, and sprinkled them with rose water from a casting bottle. Then he ran out of the shop, and rushed back with an earthenware pitcher, containing a sweet drink flavoured with rose water and cooled with snow. He set it before them, saying, "Complete your kindness to me." Ajib took the pitcher and drank and passed it to the eunuch, and they kept passing it around until they had had enough and their stomachs felt too full, for they had eaten much more than usual. Then they thanked him, and bidding him goodbye, hurried through the city until they came out through the east gate and hastened to their tents. Ajib went to see his grandmother, Badr al-Din's mother, and she kissed him, and thinking of her son Badr al-Din and his days with her, sighed and wept until her veil was wet, and recited the following verses. "Had I not thought that we would meet again, I would have after you of life despaired. I swear my heart holds nothing but your love, by God who knows and has my secret shared." Then she asked Ajib, "Son, where have you been?" and set food before him. And as it had been foreordained, they too had cooked a pomegranate seed dish, except that this one had less sugar. She gave him a bowlful together with some bread and said to the eunuch, "Eat with him," saying to himself, "By God, I can't even smell the bread." He sat down to eat. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 96th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O king, that Ja'far said to the caliph." The eunuch sat down, though his belly was full with what he had already eaten and drunk. Ajib dipped a piece of bread in the pomegranate dish and took a bite, but found the food insipid, for he too was full. He said, "Bah, what is this awful stuff?" His grandmother was astonished and said, "Son, do you find fault with my food? I cooked it myself, and no cook can compare with me, except my son Badr al-Din Hassan." Ajib replied, "Grandmother, we have just now found in the city a cook who had prepared a pomegranate seed dish whose aroma delights the heart and whose flavor stimulates the appetite. Your food is nothing by comparison." When his grandmother heard his words, she was angry and, turning to the eunuch, said, "Damn you! You are corrupting my son by taking him into the city and letting him eat in cookshops." When the eunuch heard her words, he was frightened and said, "No, by God, my lady, we did not eat anything. We only saw the cookshop in passing." But Ajib said, "By God, grandmother, we did enter the shop, and both this time and the other time we ate a pomegranate seed dish that was better than yours." In her anger, she went and informed her brother-in-law, provoking him against the eunuch, at whom the grandfather yelled, saying, "Damn you, where did you take my grandson?" Afraid of being put to death, the eunuch denied everything. But Ajib told on him, saying, "Yes, by God, grandfather, we went into the cookshop and ate until the food came out of our nostrils. And the cook gave us an iced sweet drink." The vizier became angrier and said, "You ill-fated slave, did you take my grandson into a cookshop?" The eunuch continued to deny it until the vizier said to him, "My grandson says that the two of you ate until you were full. If you are telling the truth, then eat this bowlful of pomegranate seeds which is before you." The eunuch said, "Very well," and took a morsel from the bowl and ate it. But unable to swallow a second, he spat it out and threw it away, and drawing away from the food said, "By God, my lord, I am full ever since yesterday." By this the vizier realized the truth and ordered his servants to throw the eunuch down and beat him. Smarting under the blows, the eunuch cried for mercy and said,
"My lord, we did enter a cookshop, and we did eat a pomegranate seed dish that was indeed better than this one."
His words angered Badr al-Din's mother, who said,
"For God's sake, my son, and may God reunite me with my own son, you must go and bring me back a bowl of pomegranate dish from that cook, so that your master may judge which is the better and tastier of the two, his or mine."
The eunuch replied,
"Indeed I will."
Then she gave him a bowl and a half a dinar, and he went out running until he came to the cookshop, and said to Badr al-Din,
"Excellent cook, I have made a wager about your cooking in my master's household. Give me half a dinar's worth of your pomegranate dish, and it better be good, for I've had a bellyful of beating for entering your shop. Don't let me taste more beating with your food."
Badr al-Din laughed and said,
"By God, noble lord, no one can cook this dish as well but myself and my mother, and she is far away."
Then he ladled out the food, choosing the best parts, covered the bowl, and gave it to the eunuch, who hastened back with it. Badr al-Din's mother took it, and when she tasted the food and noticed its excellent flavour, she knew who had cooked it, shrieked, and fell down in a swoon. The vizier was astonished, and sprinkled water on her. And when she came to herself, she said,
"If my son Badr al-Din is still in this world, none has cooked this dish but he."
But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said,
"Sister, what a strange and entertaining story."
Shahrazad replied,
"What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?"